Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, News 3 anchor Jim Snyder, just back from a trip to Cuba. We'll have the latest from him. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Mike Killaby, Bob Kroll, and Scott Bensing. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
It will be a short outing for this young right-hander as the manager heads to the mound. Uh-oh. I have never seen anything like this.
There's an easier way inside local sports. Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background checks, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in, about 10 years.
So, do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Is your child happy in school? There is another way. Bluefield Prep is a values-driven college preparatory school for grades 3 through 12 that offers affordable instruction completely online and puts the power to direct your child's education back in your hands. Whether your child needs to be more challenged or your child needs more time than a traditional classroom allows, Bluefield Prep has a solution to fit. Call today to receive the free pamphlet, A Parent's Guide to Online Education. Join thousands of other families who are taking control of their child's education by discovering online education. Bluefield Prep offers a fully accredited academic program overseen by a team of qualified, caring instructors. Bluefield Prep even offers an early college option that can save thousands in college tuition. So call the number below today for your free pamphlet, A Parent's Guide to Online Education, with no obligation, or go online to bluefieldprep.com. Every child deserves to be happy in school, so don't wait. Call Bluefield Prep now. You'll be glad you did.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're very pleased to welcome to the program Jim Snyder. He anchors the news at 5 and 6 p.m. on News 3 in Las Vegas and has just returned from a trip to Cuba. First of all, Jim, welcome to the program, and why did you go to Cuba?
Thank you, Sam. It's great to spend some time with you today. We went to Cuba with a group of 24 people from down here in Southern Nevada. There were seven of us from the TV station here and connected. Jim Rogers went with us, the owner, our general manager, and some other folks from here, my news director, Bob Stodall. But we were part of a larger group, which was put together by the Jewish Federation of Las Vegas. And we were actually traveling on a humanitarian visa from the U.S. State Department. And that's why we had permission to fly from Miami down to Havana. The humanitarian mission was to bring supplies in. They are short of just about anything you can imagine. We brought everything from toothpaste and soap to shampoo and over-the-counter medicines. And we had a couple of doctors traveling with us, so they were able to bring some prescription medicine. And we went to a pharmacy in Havana that's actually in a Jewish synagogue, and it's set up so that everybody in that area, not just people of the Jewish faith, but anybody who needs these supplies can get them. And that was the main reason for our trip.
You know, one of the things that was interesting to me was I had no idea that there was a Jewish community still in Cuba.
It's been a learning curve for me, too, frankly. But the history goes like this. In the 30s and 40s, when a lot of Jews were leaving Eastern Europe to escape oppression there, leading up to World War II, they were trying to get into the United States, and many of them went to Cuba instead, figuring it's 90 miles from the coast of the U.S. They couldn't get the visas to get into the U.S. at that point because there were some immigration quotas going on with the influx. But they figured Cuba's the next best thing, and many of them settled there. So at some point on the island of Cuba, the population there, about 11 million people, you had between 15 and 25,000 Jews living in Cuba.
You know, one of the interesting things I found was that, A, you went on a humanitarian mission, not a journalistic mission, so they didn't know that this was going to actually end up on TV. But one of the things was you were taking a life-saving cancer drug to a young person. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was the moment that really just hit all of us, and in that moment, we knew why we made this trip, and I was happy to be able to get around and inconspicuously shoot life in Havana, talk about the connection between Southern Nevada and Havana and all that, but really it was about this humanitarian mission, and in addition to the general supplies we were asked to bring, we had a request that there was a 12-year-old boy who was suffering from lymphoma in Havana and needed a cancer drug to survive, frankly, and was not able to get it anywhere in Cuba. And through the help of a local hospital here in Las Vegas, St. Rose, we got a donation of the medicine that he needed, and we were able to bring it down to that pharmacy that I mentioned. We thought we were just going to be meeting with the pharmacist. We were going to hand it over, and then it was going to go through the channels. But it turns out the boy and his mother were there, and we were able to hand over that medicine, and the mother broke down in front of us because, you know, at that moment, our trip, our presence in Cuba meant that this boy got to survive this, and that's what it was all about.
I would imagine there wasn't a dry eye in the house.
Not at all. Not at all. And there were a lot of very powerful moments along the way. I mentioned, so at the peak, the Jewish community in Cuba, between 15 and 25,000. In the first 30 years under Castro, it was an atheistic rule. They were along with the Soviet Union model, adhering to that, and nobody was allowed any religious expression. In 1991, when the Soviet Union stopped writing a check to Cuba, Castro, by all accounts, sort of went, you know what, this was more their rule than mine anyway. Go ahead and practice your religions if you want to. At that moment in 1991, there were about 700 to 800 people who identified themselves that they were members of the Jewish faith. So from, let's say, 15,000 down to 700 or 800, that's when the work began to try to revitalize this community. And as it stands today, they're at about 1,500 strong, growing every day, and it's a vibrant community. They're rebuilding the synagogues and being able to practice their faith again.
One of the people that came with you on the trip was Bob Arum, the boxing promoter. You have a fantastic perspective on him from when he was first in Havana and then going back today. Tell us a little bit about that. We've got about a minute in the segment.
Absolutely. Bob Arum was last in Havana back in 1957. He was a young man just out of law school in New York. He went down to party it up because Havana in the late 50s, he was making the point that Las Vegas calls itself Sin City. Now people refer to it as that. He says not at all compared to Havana in the late 50s. It was casinos, it was bordellos, it was a wild party scene, and that's why he was there. And while he was partying, he would hear news reports on the radio that Fidel Castro was fighting up in the mountains and, you know, trying to overthrow the current government of Fulgencio Batista, which he ended up doing in 1959. So Arum, not having been there for 53 years, steps off the plane back into the streets of Havana and is able to see what's changed. And Sam, I have to tell you, he was brokenhearted by a lot of what he saw, because back then Havana was considered the jewel of the Caribbean. The architecture, the casinos, the entertainment, the tourism, it was all top-notch, and so much of that has fallen into decay now.
More with Jim Snyder when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Attention diabetics, if you've taken the diabetes drug Avandia, listen carefully.
If a member of your family has suffered a heart attack, stroke, or even died while taking Avandia, call the attorney Greg Jones right now.
If you or a loved one have taken this drug and were injured, you may be entitled to financial compensation.
For a free legal consultation, call 800-595-6139.
You don't owe us anything unless we're successful.
South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends is the Tamarack Junction. Enjoy great food 24 hours a day in the dining car restaurant. For a quick bite and the best sandwiches in town, it's the Whistle Stop Deli. And for the best appetizers and menu selections and a large variety of cocktails, beer, and martinis, it's Sully Sports Bar and Grill. The Tamarack Junction is your junction for fun, just north of the Summit Sierra on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with news anchor Jim Snyder. He anchors the 5 and 6 p.m. news on KSNV, which is News 3 in Las Vegas. And all next week, Monday through Friday, in the 6 o'clock hour, he's going to be doing a series on Cuba. Jim, tell me, you know, what does Cuba look like? You get off the plane, what do you see?
I made the comment when we were walking down in the streets and I was doing some of my on-camera part that it sort of reminds you of an aging movie star who's let herself go. You can see the beauty that once was. The architecture, the styling, the ornate ironwork in front of the buildings. They were, back in the day when they had money, they were hiring architects from Europe, from Spain, and from France to come over and build these absolutely amazing buildings. But what's happened in the now, you know, 50 years since Castro took over is it's just fallen into disrepair. And I used the word earlier, decay. You can still see underneath this layer of grime and neglect, you can still see the beauty that was there. But these buildings are literally being eaten apart by that sea air, occasional hurricanes, you know, wind and rain, the ravages of time. Some of the buildings you can see straight through. They're like architectural skeletons. And the amazing thing that you realize is that people live in those buildings the shot rooftops, the rain comes in, the water service was very poor in many parts of Havana, so there were water trucks delivering, electricity was spotty, and we were able to go back into some of the old casinos. We went to the Riviera and to the Tropicana. They've been refurbished now, and they are kept up, and there are pockets of the city that have been redone because now they are embracing tourism. Not much from America, of course, but for the rest of the world, it's coming back to Havana, and there are pockets there that are being rebuilt. But for the most part, it's just sad to see what's happened to it, and just that nobody seems to be taking care of it.
So, Jim, tell me about the people there.
The people were amazingly warm and friendly and accepting and interested in all things American. Great conversationalists. Many of them had at least, you know, broken English, and I have extremely broken Spanish, so we were able to have some conversations. But life's tough, as I said. The really interesting part is even that guide, the Castro government employee I was talking about, and others we spoke with, would be critical of current conditions, and they would complain about the way life was for them right now, but they would always stop short of criticizing Castro, either Fidel or his brother Raul, who has the presidency now. There seems no doubt in anyone's mind that Fidel's still calling the shots. But just warm, friendly. They're just barely getting by. The average salary, and most people are on the government payroll, between 20 and 30 pesos a month. So to give a Cuban a peso is a big deal. They can do a lot with that money. And it just, as is often the case, even when governments, you know, have their squabbles, the people do not. And that's what we found when we were talking with the folks there in Havana.
What about the amount of food that they're getting in this rationing, correct?
Yeah, there's rationing. We were able to get into this ration store, and they each have a ration card that they can go to the store and pick up, 6 pounds of rice, so much salt, so much sugar, just beans, the basics. Rice and beans is primarily what they eat, and it was explained to us that, you know, Cuban mothers are very resilient and very sort of creative, and you might find a shred of chicken in a dish, you know, one night a week or something, and that would be a big deal. So that's kind of how they're getting by. But it's a fairly low standard of life, even though everyone seems to be at least fed. Everyone goes to school. Their literacy rate is impressive. So there are some things that are working well on the island, but not many, frankly.
Okay, so I want to ask you, what did people say when you said that you were from Las Vegas?
People lit up. You know, it's always amazing to me that in foreign countries, if people know a few cities in America, they know New York, of course, maybe L.A., sometimes D.C., and then Las Vegas. It's a worldwide brand for a reason. So people get excited about that, and they're also interested. A lot of them were asking questions about the hotels and you know, how we make a living off of tourism, because that seems to be their best bet moving forward. Fidel Castro was anti-tourism when he took over, as I explained, because of the mob connection, and he really wanted to kind of keep the foreign influence out, but now, maybe grudgingly, he's accepting and embracing tourism and building back those pockets of the city to bring the tourists in. And so a lot of folks know if they can get a job, even a doctor might make 30 pesos a month in Cuba. If that doctor can get a side job driving cab a day or two a month and pick up a few of those pesos that I mentioned, this can change the quality of life tremendously. So people were very interested in tourism and an economy based on tourism, because that is something that's changing in Cuba today, as more and more of that is happening.
Jim Snyder's series on Cuba will air next week in the 6 p.m. hour, Monday through Friday, on News 3, and he anchors the 5 and 6 p.m. news on a weekly basis on News 3. Thank you so much, Jim, for doing this. We'll look forward to the series and hopefully be able to catch it online at mynews3.com. Jim Snyder, thanks so much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Championship courses and life's distractions fading away.
Join the area's best locals program, the Talon Club at Red Hawk.
On the next Face to Face, he has a victory under his belt, a legislative session around the corner, and no plan yet for bridging the budget gap. What's Governor-elect Brian Sandoval thinking? We'll ask him. An exclusive interview next, Face to Face.
Attention diabetics, if you've taken the diabetes drug Avandia, listen carefully.
If a member of your family has suffered a heart attack, stroke, or even died while taking Avandia, the manufacturer may be to blame. Call the attorney Greg Jones right now.
If you or a loved one have taken this drug and were injured, call us right now. You may be entitled to financial compensation. Recent studies show that the diabetes medication Avandia may increase your risk of heart attack, stroke, and even death. If you or someone you love have taken Avandia and were injured, call the Greg Jones Law Firm right now for a free legal consultation. There are time deadlines to file a claim, so call us right now. There's absolutely no risk on your part. You don't owe us anything unless we're successful.
For a free legal consultation, call 800-771-5943. That's 800-771-5943.
Click on MyNews4.com and get the best in today's news and events. Customize your homepage to get only the articles and video that you want to see. Browse the latest news, sports, and weather only on MyNews4.com.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, the mayor of Carson City, Bob Kroll, is here. Scott Bensing with SB Strategic and Mike Hillaby with Hillaby & Associates. Pleasure to have you continue to be on the program. Thanks for hanging around. Let's talk about how this election has affected the legislature. Were there any surprises for you in what occurred?
Well, yeah, I think that the Senate, the Democrats lost one in the Senate, so it's now 11-10. That's closer, and the Democrats lost two in the Assembly. I think that, you know, that does not bode well for the Democrats, but I think, you know, they lost some ground there. It'll be an interesting dynamic when everybody gets back, because we're going to have a whole lot of new people, and the partisan split is going to be even closer. So, you know, it's going to be tough.
Hey, well, your thoughts about what's going to start happening in February?
Well, I think what's happened in the legislature has really strengthened Governor-elect Sandoval's hand. He's now got a few votes to give, should he have two on each side. The issues on the budget obviously are going to be very compelling, but we can't lose out of the fact that redistricting, reapportionment is going to be a huge, huge issue. And now he's much strengthened there. And for Republicans, having Joe Heck win the congressional seat down south is important, too. It matters who holds that seat when they look to redraw those lines and look to add a CD4.
Okay, let's use a little institutional knowledge here. What can we anticipate in terms of the wrangling to get these districts reapportioned? Because there are some, you know, especially in Southern Nevada, there are some huge districts, and will Bill Raggio be able to get extra seats?
Well, I think that's going to be one of the key arguments. And what happens if Shelley Berkeley decides to run for Senate? She's going to be maybe less interested in her own district and thinking about other things.
Do they allow Republicans in that district, or do they have to walk on the sides around?
I think they have to walk around. I think it's redlined in that little district. What those districts are going to look like, as Scott said, who's in them at the time is going to make a big difference. And, you know, you're going to have all this national pressure coming to bear on Nevada and on those legislators about, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. We want a better hand in these districts. We want that new district to be more competitive. Excuse me, for one side.
So you're talking about the national parties.
Yeah, the national party. Looking at a bunch of people from northern and rural Nevada saying, we're going to have so few seats left, we'd really like to save our clout to maybe enlarge the size of the legislature. Proportionally doesn't impact their ability. The number of seats is going to change, but it doesn't impact the percentage. But just so those districts aren't all the size of New England, you know, you're going to have a state assembly district the size of a good hunk of the country. So that's going to be huge. And who are those people going to listen to? There's going to be a lot of folks tapping on their shoulder, offering things and cajoling and pressuring for those districts, and it's going to be fascinating to watch.
Okay, 10 years ago, describe what it was and how that would play out next year.
It's hard to remember 10 years ago. I will say, though, that, you know, one of the interesting...
It was that ugly, huh?
Yeah.
Sadly, I have vivid memories of
those last I do remember is our colleagues here are saying is that there's a huge amount of pressure from on the national level as to how we draw those lines. When you look at and Scott is absolutely correct that you give more power to the governor, because the governor has veto power over the redistricting and the budget. And frankly, my own sense is there's going to be a collision course coming down the road on both of those issues.
And I think the other one, and don't forget, you've got a new speaker the assembly that's going to have one term and is looking potentially at that new congressional seat. You've got a majority leader in the Senate who is rumored to be thinking about that congressional seat. It's going to be amazing to watch. I mean, I remember last time just the hang-up over the new congressional seat, which then went to then-state Senator John Porter, that kept us there a long time, and people in and out of that room and all the pressure and what we're going to do to make that a competitive, slightly R-leaning district. I think it's going to be much more interesting this time, or worse, depending on your perspective.
The general consensus is that John Ensign will not run, or if he does run, he'll be defeated in a primary. Dean Heller and Shelley Berkley are the most likely people to go in that Senate race. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think there's people are going to sit down after the first of the year. We'll take a look at FEC reports, see where everybody is cash on hand. Dean Heller and Shelley Berkley specifically.
I think Dean spent, what, a dollar?
Which, if he did, it was more a dollar more than he had to spend. Dean's doing great, and he's well-positioned. I think people wait to see what Senator Ensign decides to do.
Well, and Shelley Berkley is also very well-positioned. I mean, she didn't have to spend a lot of money in her re-election.
She didn't. I still think it's an uphill battle for her statewide, and almost regardless of who the Republican nominee is.
I think it's going to be interesting because Dean has to really introduce himself to Southern Nevada, and she really has to introduce her to Northern Nevada.
This is an easier sell for Dean, I think.
To say the least. Your thoughts on that race?
Well, I think so. You know, Dean's district does incorporate some of Southern Nevada now. He was obviously a statewide office as Secretary of State, so there's some name ID and some familiarity with how things run in the state. And Shelley is a remarkable legislator and a really tough campaigner, but that's going to be hard to translate that out of that relatively small district in Vegas.
And a very quick answer, Sharon Angle, CD2, if Dean runs.
Oh, boy.
That's where we got to leave it. We'll be right back after this.
Experience Bare Minerals, the foundation that started the makeup revolution. Are you ready for flawless coverage and makeup that is actually good for your skin? Now you can get our new kit for over 75% off what you'd pay at retail. Our exclusive introductory Get Started kit includes the award-winning Bare Minerals Foundation. You'll also receive warmth for a healthy glow, Mineral Veil, the ultimate finishing touch, and Bare Minerals Professional Flawless Application Brush. Call now and receive our new bonus collection worth $57.95 free, including the highly anticipated Flawless Definition Mascara. Purchased separately, you'd spend over $120. Our original Get Started kit was a great deal at two payments of $29.99. But for a limited time, you get all this, including the bonus gifts, for only one payment of $29.99. You save over $90 and get a 30-day money-back guarantee.
To save over 75%, order now by calling 1-800-936-4419 and ask how you can receive a free handy compact with brush with your order.
We all love our dogs, but there are times you just wish you could turn off their barking. Well, now you can with Bark Off. When you'd prefer that your dog didn't bark, simply switch on the Bark Off. And when your dog does bark, it sets off an ultrasonic signal that's inaudible to human ears, but instantly captures your dog's attention. Bark Off is the pet-friendly way to instantly get your dog to stop the nuisance barking. Bark Off is battery-powered, so you can use it in any room in your house. And if you've got a noisy dog in your neighborhood, Bark Off is the perfect way to keep them calm and quiet. Other bark prevention devices cost up to $70, but call now and you can get the pet-friendly Bark Off for just $10. But call right now and you'll receive a second Bark Off as a bonus. Just pay separate shipping and handling, and you get them both for just $10.
Have your credit card ready and call 1-800-569-8172. But call now because we're giving away a bonus second Bark Off with all of today's orders. So call 1-800-569-8172. Call now.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. Among the guests coming up next week, newly minted state senator Sheila Lester.